All right. Well, I thought tonight we would talk a little bit about what I'd like to call the balanced life. Now, God desires his people to be balanced in all things. And a lot of topics in the Bible, you know, that we hear about, including fear, hate, wealth, work, different aspects that, you know, sometimes you'll see a negative connotation attached to it. Sometimes you'll see a positive. But in reality, there's usually a negative and a positive, something that we can learn from and also apply to our own lives. Let's look over in Proverbs. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs, so let's get in there right now. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. Proverbs 11 and verse 1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And look over in Proverbs 16, verse 11. It says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. And also in Proverbs 20, go over to Proverbs 20, and verse 23. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So there's many things that appear to be contradictions in the Word of God, but are really not at all. But rather a proper perspective, and it is given in the Scripture. So we'll be looking at a few verses that will verify that. Let's look at fear, first of all. Now, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the Lord is one to be feared, folks. He alone has the ability to cast body and soul into hell. Okay? He is the one that can do that. Now, that initial fear is a healthy fear that should, among other things, drive us to salvation. And, of course, the grace of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord as well. But that fear is a real thing that is genuine and is valid. There's no one else that has that capability or that ability to handle our soul and body in such a manner. So the fear of the Lord is actually a good, healthy fear. Like, I'm afraid of that. I don't want that to happen to me. Amen? And I don't want that to happen to my neighbor or my brother or my sister. And so that alone should be incentive for us to get out there and tell them about the word, the gospel. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 9. Go back to chapter 9. And verse 10, the first part of that we just stated, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So once we understand who the Lord is, the nature of God as defined in this Bible, we can understand that he indeed is one to be feared. And that is, as the Bible says, the beginning of wisdom. It's like you're getting the message now. Just pay attention now the rest of the way. But that is the beginning of it. And the fear is recommended. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now, fear can mean a couple different things in the Bible. One of them can mean just, I'm afraid. Another can mean a healthy respect. You know, a knowledge of the Lord breeds a healthy respect of who he is and for what he's done and for what he can do, what his capabilities are. So the respect is also an aspect of fear. Let's look over in 28, Proverbs 28 and verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So a wise man is one that understands that fearing the Lord is the proper way to approach him. You not only are initially afraid, of course, of what he can do, but then you respect him. You put him in that kind of light, and that is one of the aspects of wisdom. And on the other hand, God says that we should not be afraid of some things. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3. So on one hand, we are to fear the Lord, fear God. But let's look in Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So part of the wisdom that God imparts to us through his word is knowing that we don't have to be afraid of certain things, especially the things that are going to befall the wicked. We know that we are now exempt from that. Having accepted the Lord as our Savior, he has cleansed us from all sin, and he's placed us in a position where the fires of hell will never touch us, we'll never see the place, we'll never have to pay the penalties for our sin because the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid them for us. Amen? And so we no longer need to fear that. Now, the people that are out there that we're trying to reach, they do need to fear that, and they need to know it. That's something that should be part of our conversation with these people. You need to be afraid of going to hell. This is serious stuff. And so, but again, we have things we don't need to be afraid of. Let's look over in Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, the fear of man is one of those things you see every day. If you watch the news or anything like that, what you're seeing is people who are more afraid of man than they are of God. They're basing their behavior, the words that they're speaking, on just being afraid of a certain group of people or a certain person or not fitting in with a certain group. That's the fear of man. And that brings a snare. What's a snare? Well, you know what? You're not going to be close to God. You're not going to have a relationship with God most of the time if you had that as a priority in your life. Now, the fear of God, is, of course, a healthy fear, and we know what that is. We've already discussed that, but the fear of man is what brings a snare. So, you know, our focus should be, what does God want me to do? You know, what does Joe Schmo think of what I'm doing? That's not the focus we should have. Am I going to fit in? Are these people going to like me if I stand up for the Lord? That can bring a snare. Don't fear man. How about over in Hebrews? Let's look over in Hebrews. Keep your finger in Proverbs. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So the Lord is our helper. We don't have to fear what man can do to us. Man is able to kill the body, but again, the Lord preserves it, preserves the soul, and gives us a new body. And, you know, I mean, you look down the road far enough, everybody dies, everybody's dead, and where are they at that point? You know, we have the reward waiting for us. So if you keep the eternal perspective in mind, and the Lord will give us the grace to go through it. But, you know, if we come to a point where we're faced with that decision, you know, renounce the Lord or give up your life, hey, it's really a no-brainer. Our life is just temporary anyway. We don't have to fear it. Well, I'm sure I'd be afraid, but, you know, if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you understand that, you know, God gives grace in those situations. And that's how they were able to endure that. So we don't have to fear what man can do to us. Let's talk about hate now. There are some things that God says we are to hate. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth. Froward means unyielding or disobedient, by the way. The froward mouth do I hate. First of all, we're to hate evil, as the Lord does. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the unyielding or disobedient mouth. At the same time, though, God expects us to use common sense and keep perspective and balance the hate with love. Okay, let's look over in Proverbs chapter 10. couple pages there. And verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So the things that we are to hate are pretty plain there. But, you know, if you have the option to love somebody, show them a little love, that's the way to do it, really, right? And part of the love that we can show them is presenting them with the gospel if they're not saved. So keep that in mind. We talked about this before a little bit, maybe Sunday, but, you know, there's all sorts of examples where people are doing things right now that not very many of us approve of. And it's easy to funnel that into a feeling of hatred, resentment, but just knowing the fact that they will be held responsible for all their sins and all their works will be burned up. You know, in the end, what's left is an unsaved soul who's going to have to pay for his sins. So that should drive us to compassion, just to pray for that person, you know, their salvation. That's the love aspect of it, of course. Okay, speech. Let's talk about our speech now. On many occasions, God reminds us that we'd be better off by keeping our mouths shut.
Amen. Oops.
Let's look over in Proverbs. Well, we're in chapter 10. Let's look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Let's look over in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Now there's an old saying, you can usually tell what somebody's up to by what they're accusing others of. Mm-hmm. Many times that's the case, because they're more aware of that certain sin, that certain problem. And so that's why the word hypocrite is in there. You know, you don't want to be hypocritical in accusing your neighbor. You know, if they've got a problem, pray for them. See what you can do to help. And the knowledge, of course, is all important. Let's look over in chapter 13 and verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, you really can't help it. I mean, I know the more I talk, the worse things tend to get. You know, they kind of go downhill. So if I just keep my answers brief when I'm talking to people, it's better. I don't know if any of you are like that. But how about over in 17, Proverbs 17, and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So the ones that do all the talking, you can almost tell right away whether they're on or not. But if somebody keeps their silence, especially if you don't really know them, you know, you don't really have an idea. Are they wise or not? But once they open their mouth, then you do, right? So the recommendation is just listen more than you talk, right? The word is also quick to remind us that words properly used can be of God. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 10. Go back to chapter 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The first part of that, that's the part we want to focus on. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. And then 21 also. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So once you've obtained the knowledge that God imparts to you through his word, the knowledge that's in there, the wisdom, you're able to pass that on, and it's counted as choice silver. And so that's something we should attain to, is the wisdom that's in this book. Not worldly wisdom, the wisdom that's in this book. When we're able to pass that on to others, that's counted as choice silver in God's eyes. Let's look over in Proverbs 15. And verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So in other words, a nice soft answer, you know, even in volume, right? I mean, if the volume's gotten way up there and you can just keep your volume down, it helps. It tends to soothe the situation. Grievous words are, I mean, we can't take words back, right? once they're out there, they're out there. You can say you're sorry all you want to, but they're still out there. And so be careful with what you say. Be careful. Verse 2 in that same chapter, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Let's look at verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. There's a real dichotomy there between the foolish and the wise. And our goal, of course, is as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be wise. He's offered us his wisdom. He promises to give it to us if we ask him for it. And, of course, it's all contained right here in this book. Let's look over in Proverbs 16 and verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So we know there's a verse in the Bible that says, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you put in your heart, sooner or later, is going to come right out of your mouth. If you indulge in things that you shouldn't be looking at, reading things you shouldn't be reading, watch movies that you shouldn't be watching, you know, that's what's, you know, you're planting that stuff in your heart. But if you stay in this word, study it daily, and pray daily, as we talked about, pray without ceasing, as we talked about on Sunday, you're going to get that stuff in your heart, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth, is this wisdom, this choice silver, as the Bible describes it. Chapter 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now that should encourage every one of us, right? A word fitly spoken, just at the right time, an encouragement, a word of encouragement, a word of love, a word of hope. You know, anything like that can make a big difference in somebody's day. And so let's just keep that in mind. That's a real opportunity we have right there that the Lord gives every one of us, is a word fitly spoken. Wealth. Let's look at wealth. Now, money is something that can be a curse or a blessing. Now, there's a lot of people out there that think if they win the lotto, they're going to be happy. But, you know, if you really look at the history of lottery winners, it's not good. It incurs a lot of misery and a lot of tend to start hiding things. And, you know, because people come out of the woodwork. You know, this is a public thing. I mean, people find out. People are online all day long looking for people that win the lottery. And so, you know, it brings, you'll have this money in your hand, but there'll be people begging you for it, trying to get you to hand it out to them. And it can be a real curse. It can be a curse along with the blessing, see. But most of the curse comes along with what our motives are to obtain money. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13. Again, this is all part of a balanced life. Proverbs 13 and verse 11. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now, vanity is defined as trifling labor that produces no good in this instance. Trifling labor that produces no good. So usually that's ill-gotten, right? You've done something that may not be totally honest or may be totally dishonest, and you've obtained this wealth. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So an honest day's work, the Lord blesses that. You know, there's no point in trying to get money scheming or being dishonest or anything like that, because the Lord will not bless it. Guaranteed, he's not going to bless it. It has a habit of disappearing. Let's look over in Proverbs 15:27. Again, this is our attitude towards money, towards acquiring it. 15:27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. In other words, don't accept bribes, right? That's kind of what that last part is. But if all you're interested in is making money above all else, then you're going to reflect that attitude towards those around you, those that love you. They're going to feel like that's more of a priority than they are. You know, the peace of the home, or, you know, the love, the relationship that you have takes second fiddle to just acquiring money, just to have it. And so the Bible condemns that. Let's look over in Proverbs 21, verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. And so what's the end of thereof? It's death. It's not the way to do it. The Lord knows, the Lord tells us the right way to earn an income. Let's look over in 23, Proverbs 23 and verse 4. 23:4 says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Now thine own wisdom, that's worldly wisdom. That's not the wisdom that God imparts through this book right here. Worldly wisdom says what? He who dies with the most stuff wins. That's worldly wisdom, the most toys, yeah. So that's not the right approach. That's not God's recommendation here at all. Don't just labor to be rich, but labor to make the living that you need to have and give back to God a portion of what he's given to you. And he will bless. It just as is so evident in this church right here with all the blessings that we've been able to impart to these missionaries just by giving back a little of what we have received. Let's look over in chapter 28. Now, the Lord blesses a lot of people with wealth, but there is a way to handle that situation too. 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And so if the Lord blesses you with money, be honest with the Lord about your wealth. Don't push him aside because you no longer need him, because you have all these material goods that are attempting to take his place. And so he says it's better to be poor if you're going to be like that. It's better to be poor. So the word makes it plain that God is interested in his children financially, providing their motives are pure. Let's look back in Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a great book full of wisdom. In verse 9, we just talked about this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He'll send it right back to you plus interest every time. It's guaranteed. All you got to do is try it. It's amazing how it works. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The Lord is so generous with us. He gives us our talents, the ability to make the money. We make the money. We give a little bit back to him. But what happens then? He gives us more back in return. Let's look over in Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Also, to have the right attitude towards the poor. It says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now, sometimes we'll drive down the street and you'll see somebody on a corner. And you've got a little sign, maybe you can't even read it, but you know what they want, right? And so you get up next to them and sometimes the Lord will impress on your heart, go ahead and give this guy a buck or two, you know? And really, the point is that God wants us to help the poor. And whether that man has good motives or not is not our problem. What the Lord blesses is our motives. He blesses your heart for giving that man a couple dollars because in your mind, he could be poor, right? He could be poor. He could be destitute. He could be a shyster. But that really doesn't matter. Okay, the Lord will bless you for helping that man out. Let's look over in Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So there it is right there. So the Lord said, you take pity on that poor man, and I will make sure you get it back. It works, absolutely, every time. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Again, sharing what you have with those that don't have much. Let's look back in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 7. This kind of sums up this whole wealth issue. It says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now, man that has the wrong attitude towards wealth can have all the money in the world, but really, what does he have? He may have no family life. He may have no relationship with God. And in the end, what does that add up to? Zero, right? But there's a man that does not have any money yet is very wealthy because he's devoted his time to the Lord. He has great relationships with others. He's generous with his time, whatever it takes. But he's not greedy. And so that greed is really what marks a man. That, and it brings its own penalty with it. And one more place, let's look in 11, Proverbs 11, verse 24. Same concept. 11:24 says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty." You know, I've had friends in the past that have been incredibly generous, and I always admired them for that because they had that faith to step out and do it, even before I really had it, to try to help others. That, you know, when you're kind of looking out for your own $5 in your pocket. But I've also had friends that were such penny pinchers, you know, you'd think that they would have money, but for some reason, they were always in need of it. At least that's the impression I got, you know, the penny pinchers. And so that's part of worldly wisdom is pinching pennies. But God's wisdom says what? Be generous. You know, help others. Don't be afraid to, and it'll come back to you. Let's talk a little bit about judgment. The primary principle that is set forth is don't do anything in haste. Allow yourself time to hear all the facts before you jump to a conclusion, right? That's just wisdom right there. Listen with a prudent ear. Let's look over in Proverbs 14. Again, we're talking about a balanced life. Proverbs 14 and verse 15. "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." In other words, don't believe everything you hear, right? I mean, we all have the capacity to look at a matter and to determine if things are as they seem or as they appear. But God says, make sure you get all the facts before you jump to a conclusion. Let's look over in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. And again, this pertains to getting all the facts, jumping to conclusions. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So part of being slow to anger is waiting until you know all the facts, right? It's easy to get angry when you hear one side and, you know, you haven't allowed the time to hear both sides, to really get all the information necessary. But once we do that, once we do allow ourselves time, then what that does is it kind of pushes that anger to the side, you know, because anger is a reaction. It's not really a response to a situation. It's a reaction. And so what we want to do is guard ourselves against reactions, and part of that is just waiting until you have all the information. Let's look over in Proverbs 18, next one over. Verse 5, "It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment." We saw an example of that with that lady in, I think it's Kentucky, the city clerk who got thrown in jail for refusing to follow the law of the land now, apparently, which is gay marriage. You know, she stood up for the word of the Lord, and that's a perfect example of what that verse is talking about. Overthrow the righteous in judgment. God says, that's not right, and it isn't right. We've accepted the person of the wicked in this case and overthrown the righteous in judgment. And down to verse 13, same chapter. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Has that ever happened to anybody? I know I got an opinion, and don't try to confuse me with the facts, right? Well, that's... God condemns that kind of an attitude. So, again, wait till you get all the facts. Wait till you hear everything. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." So if you jump to conclusions, a lot of times you regret it, right? In fact, most of the time, I've found in my life. But don't jump to conclusions. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be trying to backpedal and eat crow, or whatever you want to call it. Don't put yourself in that position. It's possible to just wait, to be patient on the and wait for the information. And also verse 28, same chapter. 25, 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Basically, what is it? Defenseless, right? If you don't have a rule over your own spirit, you don't have a leg to stand on when all the facts are gathered together and your position is deemed to be wrong. So wait till you hear the whole thing. That's the point. That's what the Lord wants us to get out of this. And one more, 28:5. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. So let's seek the Lord in all these matters. We talked about praying without ceasing. You know, you can do that when you're in a situation. You can do that when you're talking to somebody, whether it's contentious or not. You can say, Lord, give me patience. Just wait and hear the whole matter before I jump to conclusions. Help me not to get angry. You know, it's just things like that you can always do. You can always approach the Lord with that. Okay, let's talk about work, too. Most people in America have little to fear when it comes to working too much. God endorses the idea of work and suggests that everyone ought to do their fair share of it. Let's look back in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So what's the point there? Make hay while the sun shines, right? Work while you're able to do it. Don't be lazy. Let's look over at Proverbs 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So diligence is one of those things we want to strive for. Just keep at it. You know, we had a big stack of firewood out there, two cords, and I looked at it and I thought, wow, that's a lot of wood. But you know what? If you just get after it, pretty soon it's all stacked up and it's looking good, and Carol is all happy with me and everything. You know what? I was tempted to go in and sit on the couch. But. Verse 5, also in that same chapter, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame, not only to his family, but to himself, right? It will catch up with you. Let's go right over in chapter 12 and verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. So the understanding that we should have is that the work, God honors work. He will provide our needs based on that work. And so there is such a thing as a workaholic, though. And God, he presents that as a form of vanity. Let's look over in Ecclesiastes. That's the next book over. Next book, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and chapter 3, and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 3, 9. Says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So there's the key right there, is taking time to enjoy the work that you've done. Stand back and look at it. Enjoy the rewards that you've gained from it, the monetary gain, whatever it is. But don't keep your nose to the grindstone all the time. And, you know, because it's tough to enjoy yourself and the work that you've accomplished if you do that, because it's always on to the next task. And so God recommends that we just take time to enjoy what we've accomplished. The purest form of folly is to work hard to gain the possessions of the world and ignore spiritual issues. Let's look over in Luke. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke 12, 16. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.'" See, that's the wrong perspective to have, isn't it? Wrong priorities. And that can be even if in verse 20 where God says, "Thou fool, this night." It doesn't have to be that night. It can be any night, you know, where he's sitting there and gloating in what he's done, his material goods, because they're not going to last. And as we know, when we die, they get passed on to somebody else, and who knows what they're going to do with them. They certainly won't appreciate them as much as we do, the ones that earned them. So the point is to devote all that time towards the Lord, towards spiritual things, and not as much towards the physical things. And so let's wrap it up. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this will kind of give us a good balance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. In our balanced lives, we should rejoice evermore. We should pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now remember in verse 18, it doesn't say for everything give thanks. We don't give thanks for a broken leg. But we give thanks in that situation. We still have a thankful heart. Lord, thank you I didn't break both my legs. Right? That's the kind of thankfulness we're talking about. So rejoice evermore. We have a lot to rejoice about. Our salvation, our eternal destination, the blessings that we have associated with this body of believers. Pray without ceasing. That's a real privilege that we have. And in everything, give thanks. That's it. That's the key right there. Be thankful, folks.